Well, you've both mentioned Giorgia Meloni, who is, I suppose, the face of the ECR group in the Parliament as we go into these elections. So let's have a look at what's going on in her home country and get a flavour of what's exercising people as they prepare to vote in Rome and Italy with Tom Kington, who's the correspondent there for The Times. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening.
So Giorgia Meloni heads up the Fratelli d'Italia party, the brothers of Italy. They are on the right. They're not on the, I suppose, what you might characterise as the pro-Putin right. So what's their selling point to Italians as they go into these elections?
Well, I think their appeal revolves a lot around Giorgia Meloni herself. It's now coming on for 2 years since she was elected, and she's still very popular. She has a very kind of familiar manner. She kind of makes you feel like she's your friend. And that's still working, that kind of charm, that kind of charisma, that kind of everyman touch that she has. I think they're polling at about 26%. So that's down a bit from the closer to 30 that they were pulling in a couple of years ago. But still very strong, far and away the strongest party in Italy. So they're looking pretty optimistically at these EU elections.
And she comes from, an anti-establishment background. The roots of her party are in kind of a neo-fascist party originally. She's from a working class Roman background. She's cut her teeth in appearing to be anti-establishment. And yet her role in Europe has been very much by being seen as close to Ursula von der Leyen and, I suppose, extracting concessions for Italy at a European level. Is that helping her or is it hindering her with her anti-establishment base?
I don't think it's harming her here in Italy, actually. I think that her coalition partner, Matteo Salvini, who's long been sort of banging his populist drum and is now doing so again ahead of the European elections. He's back on his sort of anti-EU shtick. I don't know if that's going to really resonate. I think that Meloni has been quite canny insofar as she's got that kind of, you feel that she's ready to pounce on the establishment, but she hasn't been doing so. And as you say, she's been very pally with Ursula von der Leyen in the last couple of years. I don't think it's worked against her at all, because I think that she still gives you the idea, she still gives voters the idea that she can be tough when it's needed. So she's walking quite a fine line, but pulling it off.
All right. And yeah, so what's she selling and are they buying it?
People are still buying it here. I think that she could boost the number of seats she gets in the European Parliament in June up from, I think she's got 6 now. Polls suggest she'll go up to 21 seats. And so she's going to be a kingmaker, as we've heard previously. I think that she will have quite a good role. Up until recently in Italy, people have been saying that she would be out there batting for von der Leyen again. That's gone a bit quiet now. I think commentators here in Italy are thinking that Meloni may be wanting to kind of keep her powder dry when it comes to backing von der Leyen, see if there are any other people out there she can back. It was very interesting, actually, that von der Leyen was in Rome a few days ago for a meeting with Forza Italia politicians, and this time she didn't meet with Meloni. So I think they're sort of cooling their ardour for the time being.
All right. And is migration primarily her campaigning issue going into these elections? We've seen the asylum and migration pact. Is that what she's promising to the electorate that she will do something about, or is there more to her than that?
Funnily enough, I think that she could be saying a lot more about migration. She's got this deal going with Albania to open a base there so that migrants intercepted at sea would be sent to Albania before being sent to Italy. I think that that we're going to hear a lot more about that before the election, because they're trying to get it, if not open, almost ready before the election. So she'll probably pull that one out of the bag before Italians go to the polls. That said, she hasn't been really going over the top on migration in the same way that she used to, and in the same way that Matteo Salvini is. It's interesting. She's really kind of moderated her line since she was elected.
She's running herself, but I mean, she's not going to leave the office of Prime Minister and take up the seat in the European Parliament. I take it, but you know, her face is helping her party campaign. Is that what the tactic is?
Absolutely. And I think this Italy is unique in this. The politicians here, even if they're in office, they tend to stand for European election. When they get elected, they then don't take up their seat. They hand over that seat to the person who came in just behind them in their own party. It's a bit of a gimmick. It's partly down to the fact that I think that in Italy, any vote, whether it's for European elections or whatever, turns into a national popularity contest. Italians do like a vote, and so European elections get pounced on and hijacked and turned into just a domestic affair. Critics say that that's a not very very wise, given that if Giorgia Meloni wins a seat, she hands it off to someone in her own party who got far fewer votes, perhaps isn't very well qualified for the job. What happens is that Italy tends to send second raters to the European Parliament, and then they wonder why they don't get the job done.
Who else is running in it? Who's the main contenders? And, you know, does Giorgia Meloni's party enjoy a distinct lead, or are there any other real contenders looking to, you know, from the EPP stable, from the Socialists and Democrats, the other traditionally bigger blocs in the European Parliament?
Well, what's interesting is that Giorgia Meloni's ruling coalition in Italy is made up by three main parties. There's her party, which is part of the ECR bloc in the European Parliament. Then you've got Forza Italia, which is Silvio Berlusconi's party. They're in the EPP. And then you've got Matteo Salvini, who's with the AfD in Germany and Marine Le Pen. So they're representing three different European groupings. They're all in the same coalition in Italy. So as we talk about this great reshuffle going on in Europe, really the fault line is running straight through Giorgia Meloni's government. And it will be very interesting to see how, when you get to the horse trading after the election, how that possibly creates frictions within her coalition.
Just finally then, there's, I suppose, I wouldn't quite call it reverse Brexit, but certainly a former British MEP looking to re-enter the European Parliament, but through Italy. Tell us about Sir Graham Watson, Tom.
Yeah, well, he's a former British MEP, and he's now, because he's taken on Italian citizenship in the meantime, since Brexit, he's now teamed up with a small outfit run by Matteo Renzi, former Italian Prime Minister, and will be standing again for this Italian group in the northeast of Italy. He says it's because he wants to show that. He wants to show his fellow Britons, actually, that European voters still will vote for a Brit. And also he's wanting to take on the likes of Salvini, who's pretty strong up there in northeast Italy. So, a little Union Jack being fluttering in the northeast of Italy.
All right. Tom Kington, Italy correspondent for The Times. Thanks very much for joining us. Shona, you heard Tom talking there. We were discussing it beforehand as well. But this, I suppose, if you went back to the late 1990s, early 2000s, the idea of the European Commission president being even seen in the same room as somebody from a far right party would be considered would have been considered beyond the pale. Now Ursula von der Leyen has been comfortable enough being seen walking around the streets with Giorgia Meloni. Is that just the business of politics, where the Commission president meets the Prime Minister, or is this purely an election play?
Well, it's definitely an election play, and she admitted that at the Politico debate 2 weeks ago, to much sort of shock, because it's not something that you tend to admit to on stage at the very start of your campaign. Obviously, you'd say things like, well, I'd like to continue with the policies I have with the Greens, with Renew and the S&D and so on. And also because in the past, she's been very critical of the far right and the ECR, except for Giorgia Meloni, of course, but prior to that, let's say. And also because she's been seen to water down her Green Deal, you'd think that she would actually try to state that that was something she would just continue to try to help materialise. But I think things have changed, and the polling shows, like I said, and it's all across Europe, that people are moving into a space where they're voting for the far right. And even yesterday we saw the Dutch coalition with Geert Wilders. I mean, one of the most far right MEPs that the European Parliament has ever seen, anti-migrant, Islamophobic. I mean, even his programme for government is about completely diminishing the Green Deal, pulling out, gutting essentially billions of euros of investment for renewable energy and so on, and saying that he's proud of it. I mean, and so she could see that this is happening in Hungary. But I mean, for a while, when she did become president of the European Commission, as Karen had said, she was leading on the green policies. But now the way the wind is blowing, the fact that the farmers are protesting against the Green Deal policies, the fact that the nature restoration law only barely passed, she can say, well, I'm just moving towards the way the populations are voting.
All right. Yeah, Karen, I think you mentioned back in 2019 when Ursula von der Leyen was, I suppose she was a surprise candidate. She wiped the eye of Manfred Weber, who was the preferred candidate of the EPP. There was a lot of backroom deals in Brussels, but she was eventually unveiled as the candidate, as the agreed person by the European Council. And she went and made a big speech in the European Parliament where she said, it's all going to be green. There's going to be more investment. And in fact, in all areas, there's going to be more Europe. She seems now prepared to do business with people who aren't entirely convinced that more Europe is the answer at all.
Yes, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, Ursula von der Leyen, no matter how lovely she might appear when she goes and makes these speeches, she is a politician. She's an ambitious politician. She has been a successful politician in terms of ministerial positions in Germany in the past. And she was elected out of the blue, primarily because Emmanuel Macron liked her and supported her. And Manfred Weber was a kind of an, necessarily popular person to be European Commission president. So sort of in a roundabout way, she became the European Commission president. And she has portrayed that sense of, you know, really wanting Europe and European values, democracy, human rights, all those very important issues for the EU to be at the forefront of her policies, and she's pushing the European Green Deal. But unfortunately, as Shona has said, and you know, as we've been hearing from Italy, politics is politics, and there has been tremendous resistance in some quarters to the harsher measures of the European Green Deal, and some of them are a very hard sell, as we know, and we know in this country for farmers. And part of, I think, what she's doing is, A, she's trying to ensure she becomes president again, but she's reading the tea leaves, and times are changing, and it is going to be tougher in this new administration to push through laws to meet those very, you know, very highly ambitious carbon emission neutrality by 2050 goals. But it would be very disappointing, Colm, I think, if she turns around on some of those really key issues that she promised to deliver in 2019. I think it will make those who feel strongly that we really do need to push ahead with these climate change laws, even though they're desperately unpopular in some quarters, because we need to save the planet. If she turns around on those and she waters down some of the policies and measures, and there's a raft of them still to come, I think people will be disappointed with that. But I mean, I think that may be the reality if she gets in, especially if she gets in with the support of the more hardline right-wing groups in the European Parliament. Okay.